with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, and we are at the Pleasant Street Tea Company once again with Heather Atwood. And Heather, I don't know, you have so many different hats to wear. What hat are you wearing today?
I'm wearing the mom hat today, just the mom hat. My daughters are sitting over there. We're going to go shopping after this and be, you know, mothers and daughters in the car going out to Target and the mall and all that.
Excellent.
Well, it, as fate would have it, that's what I'll be doing with my daughter. But I don't know that we'll be eating out because we have totally different palates.
You and your daughter.
Yeah. And I think mine is totally different from everyone else's. But when you guys go out, do you go out for lunch, dinner? When you're out shopping, is there any kind of routine to that or any memory?
Well, I'm going to back up and tell you that on our way over here, driving from Folly Cove to Gloucester, my two daughters and I had a very, very, very long involved conversation about what we were having for dinner.
Oh,
it was one heck of a guy, and I thought, this is almost ridiculous. And we basically moved through yours and my list of the top 50 foods. Okay, do we want tacos? Do we want nachos? Do we want Japanese? Do we want Thai? It was kind of amazing.
So was there a resolution?
Nope.
Okay. All right, well, we've gone through lobster and chicken. I don't know where we're headed next, but we'll figure it out. And I'm not a lobster person at all.
Oh, that's funny.
So, holiday season, this is really a busy time. We were talking about lights in our pregame warm-up here. Maybe we can mention that in a minute. But what are we looking at in terms of meals? No. You have been touring the country, so you have something you do want to talk about.
Yes. I mean, we can certainly talk about Christmas, but I have been busy touring the country and getting ready for our next couple of district visits. So I'm a little behind in the Christmas department, but I know there's some wonderful Italians out there having Feast of Seven Fishes, and Polish families also do that, right? And we are not doing that. Our tradition is some sort of fish dish on Christmas Eve and then standing rib roast on Christmas Day.
Ooh,
so...
Okay.
That's all I got right now for Christmas. And I did make my mother's fruitcake, my grandmother's fruitcake. Nobody cares about that because nobody likes fruitcake.
No.
You're frowning.
Yeah.
But I was kind of pleased because I thought, you know, this is the last year I'm making this fruitcake because I don't even know who to give it to because nobody eats fruitcake. And a distant cousin of mine wrote to me and said, Heather, do you have that fruitcake recipe? I think I want to make it. So I'm really glad because of my family tradition that fruitcake has not completely died.
Well, we do. My wife is Italian, and her family comes over on Christmas Eve, and they try to do seven. Don't always hit the number seven with the fishes, but her brother always brings a live octopus and then butchers it and cooks it. However, because of what I've learned through you, through talking about octopus over the past couple of years, I think we're going to skip that this year.
Aww.
Now, I do the dishes, so I'm happy about that.
Well, I do think that's a nice tradition, but I also cannot bear to hurt those octopuses. And it's octopuses, not octopi, by the way. Yeah, we know that.
Okay.
No, it's really, someone should read that. Everyone should read that book. It's they're really sensitive, very intelligent animals. So it's a nice dish, but yeah.
Well, and I did see a video on it, too, and how an octopus interacts with a human, and it was really amazing.
Yeah.
All right, so what about your travels in terms of discovering foods elsewhere or discovering recipes elsewhere or food culture elsewhere?
Well, I would love to talk today about this bread recipe I learned about in West Virginia. There are so many interesting parts of this bread recipe. It's called salt rising bread. And the name, let's just start with the name, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with salt.
Okay.
Okay? The first recipe that they know of for this bread comes from 1798.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very old recipe. It's also...
And George Washington must have had some, right?
He definitely did, but he had this bread when he was working as a surveyor, like coming, you know, when he was those years when he was very young, and that's when he would have been in that area.
Yeah.
And this bread was born in the hollers of West Virginia.
The hollers? What's that?
Hollers. The hollers are, in West Virginia, they talk about the hills and the hollers because it's all the Appalachian Mountains, and the hollers are the valleys, and that's where the, you know, the people would be, the little, you know, villages would be. So this bread happened. It's the most American, might be one of the most American foods there are. There's no reference to this bread coming from Europe. Okay, so it did not come with the settlers. They discovered it here. There's no reference to it being part of the slave culture.
Mm-hmm.
So what they think happened was that these communities settled in West Virginia. They came there originally to mine salt. And people in those times were making bread, yeasted bread, and they got the yeast from a nearby brewer who was making beer. Okay, but the many of the people,
that sounds good so far.
Right? So they had access to yeast, and the brewers were there, right?
Okay.
But many of these people who were settling in West Virginia were Scotch and Welsh and some Germans, and many of them were evangelicals and didn't believe in alcohol. So they had no access to that yeast. They kind of figured out that if they put warm milk with a little cornmeal and a little flour, it would start to bubble. And then they also knew about something called saleratus or saleratus, okay? That's basically baking soda.
Okay.
And in those days, baking soda could, it's sodium, what's baking soda? What's the chemical name for baking soda? Sodium carbonate? Sodium carbonate, I think.
Oh, okay.
Okay, they knew that.
Know.
Okay, that comes from wood ashes. Okay.
Really? Okay.
Yes. So they knew that potash, this part of wood ashes, if they mixed it with milk and corn flour, kept it very, very warm, it would get bubbly and it would create a bacteria, that's the bubbling part, that produced hydrogen. That's the gas that raises the bread.
Okay.
In yeasted bread, it's carbon dioxide. Okay, you're grabbing yeast from the air in the sourdough bread or yeast, and it's producing carbon dioxide. Mm-hmm. In this bread, you're growing bacteria, which is producing hydrogen, and it's a different kind of leavening process. This happened only in West Virginia. And it's completely American because they had to figure this out right there. So the funny name part, the salt rising bread, comes from that word saleratus.
Mm-hmm.
So in the West Virginia accent, that slowly evolved from saleratus to salt rising.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So that's... there was another really wonderful point. Oh, so it's pretty tricky to do. I've made it two times. One time it rose and one time it didn't. And there are all these myths that surround the bread that, like, you can't have a young boy in your house whistling when you're making the bread. You can't have little girls giggling when you're making the bread. And the woman making it has to be in a good mood.
Okay.
But there are all these...
Mercy.
Right, so there are all these sort of, like, funny myths because it's really tricky to do. It's not as straightforward as yeast at all. Well, I interviewed two women who actually live in southern Pennsylvania, right on the West Virginia border. They have a bakery that still makes this bread. And they're trying to keep the culture alive because it was really maintained by, you know, old ladies in the hollers of West Virginia. And that was their grandmothers. So they love this bread, and they're trying to keep it alive. So they make it in their bakery. And they say they still have times when it fails because it's so sensitive.
Wow.
So, for instance, they say every year, it's definitely climate dependent.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, just before Thanksgiving, the batch fails. It doesn't grow.
Mm.
And if the temperature is hovering around freezing, if it's like a little above and just a little below, the batch fails. And that's when my batch failed.
Oh,
it was
okay.
Like 3 days ago I tried to make it. That's when the temperature was like a little bit warm. It was about 34. My batch failed. So it's kind of interesting. Maybe it was because my girls came home and giggled too. I don't know. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Right. Well, you realize in that one story, we've had a history lesson, we've had a cooking lesson, we've had some chemistry, and what was the other one?
Culture.
We had some culture, and that's pretty amazing. That's a good story. I like that. So what does it taste like?
It is delicious, and that's the other really interesting thing. It is such a unique flavor. I think I'm going to bring you a loaf, Rick. I would bring you one today, but my batch failed.
Right.
But it's what everyone says, it's an incredible toasted. So because of that hydrogen rise, the crumb is denser and more delicate than a yeasted bread. It doesn't have big holes, it has little holes. So, and it always has a flat top. So it doesn't like poof way up the way a yeasted bread does. So it's always, it looks like it, oh, did that bread, at first I thought it failed, but I realized it didn't when I sliced into it and I saw the little bubbles. So it is amazing toasted, and that's what everyone says. Even, you may not know this person, but some of your listeners will, Alice Waters, who is the goddess of natural food. She basically started the natural food movement in Berkeley, California.
Why would you think I wouldn't know her?
There you go. Sarcasm all over the place. She tasted this bread and said that it was the best toast she'd ever had. So it, and it has just a little bit of a tang to it. Do you know sourdough bread has a little bit of a tang? This is different. So think of, have you ever had English muffin bread? It's white. It's light tasting. It's not strong at all.
Okay.
So this is like that. Well, you've had English muffins.
Yes, actually, I have.
Okay. English, think of
normal English muffins.
Right. If you turned an English muffin into a loaf of bread mm-hmm. and made it just a little bit acidic, mm-hmm. that's what this tastes like. And it is so good toasted, I can't tell you. Or with croutons, as croutons.
And this is a salt rising bread.
Salt rising bread.
From West Virginia.
So it will be on, by the way, we have a food blog on the MidPod.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to our website,
okay.
you can see my blog, actually. That's it's recreated there. And there will be a recipe for salt rising bread.
Okay.
Fascinating, as always. Did we get to number two and one? Did you look them up?
I did. And I'm going to have to look again. All right.
Well, it's got to be something good like French fries and popcorn. Or we've already had popcorn, haven't we? I think we've had chips. So it's got to be something up there. And we're going to have to start a new list eventually. Sure. All right. So let's see what we have for the top of the list.
All right. So we have number two and drum roll number one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think you would like to reverse the order here, but I'm going to say it as it is.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Number two is Neapolitan pizza. So basically pizza with tomato sauce and basil.
Okay.
And a little mozzarella cheese.
Okay, but Neapolitan, it brings a different thing to mind. But okay, so that's just normal plain cheese pizza? Is that what that is?
Well, they're saying Neapolitan pizza.
Mm-hmm.
It is probably what you might call normal cheese pizza.
Okay.
But
that's the top. Absolutely.
So mm-hmm. tomatoes, olive oil, salt, basil, so basically like a marinara.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not saying there's mozzarella cheese on it, but there's mozzarella cheese on it. Yeah.
I don't want real tomatoes. I want the tomato sauce.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they got that.
Okay.
Marinara, yeah.
I wouldn't want to ruin a pizza with real tomatoes.
Exactly. God forbid. Any fresh ingredient on there.
No.
Yeah, they do have basil. How about basil? Are you good with basil?
I don't know.
I don't know. I think so. If they're on normal pizzas, then yeah.
Okay. So, number one.
I used to know a guy named Basil, so...
Oh, Rathbone?
Well, I was a fan when he was Sherlock Holmes, absolutely.
Yeah, right. So, number one, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
The end of the trail here. Number
trumpets, yep.
Exactly. Number one is Massaman curry from Thailand. Head in hand.
Are you serious?
I know. I actually was a little bit disappointed by that, too.
Very disappointing.
But we have...
A Philly cheesesteak or something, you know?
Well, we have to remember, this is the world's best... 50 best dishes. The world. There are a lot of people in the world voting or deciding this. You know, America is
then
only...
Then it should be something French, shouldn't it?
Aren't they the famous...
I think Southeast Asia. There are a lot of people who live in Southeast... But this is not the
okay.
This is not the people's choice. But I...
So what is it you just said? What is it?
Curry. And it Thai curry. So
I
curry,
used to know a guy named Curry. Basil curry.
My husband always said, oh, yeah, that's an old family recipe. You know,
yep.
It's like anything I say.
Okay,
oh, yeah, the Ravens used to do that all the time.
Right.
So,
yeah, I had a friend who would always say, yeah, his mother was a tar box, no matter what the topic was.
Yeah, okay.
So the interesting thing is curry is really a, kind of an Indian dish, you know, and this is Thai curry. So they're borrowing a lot of the flavors from India, but they're mixing it with Thai ingredients like coconut and it's a sweet, savory thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so curries are made in many cultures, but Thai curry seems to be the winner.
Have you had that?
I have had it.
Okay.
It's delicious. It's
okay.
Really delicious. I actually make it. And it's the sweet, sour part of it. So, do you know, you probably don't know what curry powder tastes like. So.
Now, why would you say it like that?
Some things never change.
No clue.
So curry is a blend of spices, and it has a sort of a specific flavor.
Okay.
And if you take that and you mix it with coconut and... sweet flavors, sweet ingredients, and so you get this combination. And there are noodles involved, and it's usually chicken. and it's delicious. It's kind of a sweet, sour dish, and which is always nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I must tell you, after the buildup, going through all 50 of the top, that's a disappointment to me. So we need a new list. We'll have to work on that next year, right?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. Well, we won't be meeting for a while, I presume, because of the holidays, but do have a wonderful holiday with you and your family.
And you also, I hope, wish you and your family all the best.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That's Heather Atwood. This is MSONewsSports.com.